This is Movies on Up. Dave, it's been a couple weeks since we've recorded, and I already forget how I used to feel about you, in addition to being an actual sentiment from my heart to my co-host, Mr. Dave Pacella. It is also our tagline for this week. I already forgot how I used to feel about you. If you haven't forgotten what movie that is from, send your best guess off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet your guest directly at Dave at Movies On Up on the Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, if you are correct. And if we choose you, you can win the prize package this week. Our tagline, I already forgot how I used to feel about you, is a movie that could definitely land on our list for this week. It is Valentine's week, so we thought we would share not necessarily our five favorite love stories. We've kind of done that. But Dave and I have been kind of arguing on what the actual term is, whether it's offbeat love stories or...
Not even arguing. It just, it was such a broad... It was one of those things where it's like, hey, you want to do favorite, like, non-traditional love stories? And we both just like, sure, without talking about what exactly that means.
Which is not unusual for us.
That's pretty much every episode. So that's why we might do a favorite alone movies, which whatever that means. But I took it a couple different ways. I didn't want to do just... Boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, boy and girl live happily ever after, after climax at the beginning of the third act that they overcome. So I tried to do a little bit different than that, and I'm kind of happy with how my list came out. The thought process was weird on this, because I started jotting movies down and then eliminating movies, and then as I was doing that, I started to come with, like, my list is probably the last five of the last 10 movies I came up with, just because... It took me a while to even realize how I wanted to approach the list. So I'm pretty happy with how it came out. It's a weird list because I don't know that I love any of the... Usually there's movies that I'm passionate about on here, but I mean, I enjoy all these movies, but I don't know that there's any that I'll gush about how great they are.
I love two of mine, and they were the first two that came to mind. But again, I think we had similar journeys to get to this list where... Neither of us really knew what the hell we were supposed to do, which is a problem because there's only just the two of us.
And we never discuss it.
If you don't know and if I don't know, who the hell knows? So I kind of just felt like I tried to make it as simple as possible, and I just did all five Twilight movies because I felt like guy falls in love with girl, guy is vampire.
Girl falls in love with werewolf, maybe.
Possibly.
Werewolf falls in love with baby.
Spoiler alert. Perhaps. I don't know. I've not seen the Twilights. Maybe we'll be talking about the Twilights later on this week.
We won't.
Ah, yeah, that's right. It didn't make our list. But enough about what didn't make our very special Valentine's list. What did make your list for whatever it is we're calling this kind of queer love stories?
This isn't so much girl meets boy, girl falls in love with boy. This is more about the looking for love. And maybe not being so good at finding love, so you kind of decide to create love. It is 2002's May, starring Angela Betts, directed by Lucky McKee. It's a little offbeat. I think that would be one term, but it's basically she's not very good at meeting people, but she longs for love and she needs love, so she just starts killing people to take the features of them that she likes. So she kind of wants to create her perfect mate, all driven by love. And that's going to be a common theme of mine, is that maybe they're not boy meets girl, but they are about the search of love, whether you actually find it or not. And May fits perfect. And I think it's the perfect kickoff to this list because, yeah, it's not a traditional love story. And if you think about it, it's really not even... I don't know that a lot of people would consider it a love story.
It's a horror movie, kind of, but it's motivated... by love. I do think it's really interesting that you kind of started with that, because that idea is something that came to mind of people constructing a perhaps love object. And I kind of was thinking horror as well. I went to maybe Bride of Reanimator, or like, I think it's Return of the Living Dead 3. Horror movies that are all surround love. A couple other ones that we had talked about, Audition, not too long ago. That is about the search for love, but I don't think anybody necessarily thinks of that as a love movie. But one of the ones that did come to mind, it doesn't make my list because, again, we talked about it, but creating love, very much like the way May is trying to create, you know, her ideal mate, the fellas from Weird Science actually do that.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah, that wasn't so much out of love, though. That was
no,
more
it
out
was
of lust.
Yeah, it was more out of lust. But
like sticking to the horror aspect, this kind of makes me mad because I just thought about it when this would have been on my list, but I don't want to audible at the last second. But I don't want to go through the list without mentioning it. Is a movie called L.O. that I've mentioned before, starring my buddy from high school, Ward Roberts, directed by Travis Betts, who is a phenomenal filmmaker who. Give him some time. Once he finds a studio that wants to give him money, he's going to blow people's minds. It's like a horror movie. It's a very unique love story. I mean, it's my buddy Ward in the center of a room with a demon on the other side of the circle that he's trying to get from. But it's told in flashbacks. It's told in musical numbers. It's very, very unique movie. And it is kind of heartbreaking when you know, maybe you miss it the first time. But if you look at it as a love story, it is... Like, you feel the pain, and I forget the actor's name without looking it up, who played Lo, but he gives a really good, Jeremiah Burkett, I believe is his name, very good performance. He's unrecognizable. I mean, he's this demon that's phenomenal. And so Lo, I would rather make that my number five than May. I just didn't think about it enough, but I think both take that horror genre and just kind of make it about love, although I think Lo is a more traditional love story disguised as a not traditional love story because it's not a traditional love story in any means, but at the heart of it, it is.
As much as, you know, the horror genre can tell a bunch of different stories, I think if you really sit down and think about it, we probably could have done a specific list just out of horror movies that are kind of unique love stories. Maybe it's not offbeat. Maybe that's not the right word. Maybe it is unique. My number five, I would say is pretty unique. And it's a movie that had absolutely all the ingredients to be awesome. Now, it didn't quite make it there, which is why it's number five on my list. But first off, you have a great director, David Fincher. You have a really good cast, Brad Pitt, Cate Blanchett, Tilda Swinton. You come out with The Curious Case of Benjamin Button from 2008. Great premise. You have a great director and a tremendous cast. I'm not sure exactly where things kind of went awry, but one of the reasons that I don't enjoy the romantic movies as much as some is because they seem kind of tired. You've mentioned it. Guy gets girl, whatever.
Or guy.
Or it doesn't matter. Guy gets somebody. Somebody gets somebody. Guy loses girl. Guy gets girl back. We get it. You know, you've seen that in thousands of iterations. Occasionally, you might have a wrench where there's a couple that life seems to conspire against them. And I think that the reverse aging in this movie is kind of a novel twist. I can't say that I've ever really seen that before or since. The CG does look a little bit creepy, and I think that kind of takes me out of the story. But there is kind of an inevitability to the beginning and ultimately the end of the relationship that I do think makes the movie worth watching. Because you know they're going to kind of end up together, but can really only, I guess, two ships in the night, so to speak. So, I mean, that it was very unique, and I think it's a decent way to start off my list. It's not a great movie, but unique, and I think it's worth a watch if you haven't seen it for no other reason than it's not your guy meets girl, guy falls in love with girl, guy and girl get married kind of thing.
My number four is the closest to a guy meets girl, guy falls in love with girl story on my list, but it happens to take place in the afterlife. It is 2006's Wrist Cutters, a love story starring Patrick Fugit and Shannon Sossaman. Talk about a movie that you wanted to be better. Like you just mentioned.
Benny Button.
Ben Button. This one, I love the premise. I even like the tone a little bit of it, but I just felt like it missed on a lot of stuff. But it's worth watching. I mean, it's unique enough. It's quirky enough. It's just, you know, Patrick Fugit kills himself and ends up in this kind of purgatory that's reserved for people who kill themselves. And he meets Shea Whigham's character and Shannon Sossaman's character and falls in love with Shannon Sossaman, which would be hard not to do. It's unique. I mean, it's not your traditional romantic comedy, definitely. So I feel like it definitely fits, although it's closest to, I mean, it's called Wrist Cutters, a love story. So it is written as a traditional boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl.
But it's got like that morbid twist to it that isn't just the same.
It's not, there's not a cute meet at a bar.
Right, it's When Harry Met Sally, except When Harry Met Sally, they were both dead.
After they died, yeah. So, I mean, I liked it. And just the shot right before the credits of Shannon Sossaman's smile, it's like one of my favorite scenes ever. Like, that smile would make me want to live again. I don't know how to describe it, but just that one shot, just that smile she has at the end, it's like, oh, I want to kill myself and come back just to see that.
She's adorable. My number four does not feature Shannon Sossaman, but it typically, she's got some crazy hair. There is some crazy hair going on in 1990s. Edward Scissorhands, directed by Tim Burton, starring Johnny Depp, Winona Ryder, Diane West, Anthony Michael Hall. I started thinking about Tim Burton. The past couple weeks, it seems like we've talked about a lot of directors that get in their own way at times when they have this style that is just, I guess it's like an albatross. It really just kind of crushes you. And I think that Burton now definitely has succumbed to that. But if you look at what he did early, I think starting in like 85 with Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you had Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns. Yeah, okay, whatever. Ed Wood, which I love.
Ed Wood was great.
Mars Attacks, which I can understand.
It has
don't
its place,
like.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think all of those movies are really,
and those all led up to Big Fish.
Yeah, they're
there was one or two between there.
Yeah, and this is where I have the problem, is where he kind of went commercial. Planet of the Apes was between those, and that sucked. Yeah, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Corpse Bride, Sweeney Todd, Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, they all kind of became Tim Burton
joints. They felt the same, yeah.
Yeah. Big Fish, I love. I like it better than Edward Scissorhands, but I don't think it fits on this list.
No, it's not. It's a love story between a father and son. But I mean, Big Fish, my favorite Tim Burton movie, but where'd I grab? I could do a whole episode about how much I love that movie. It's a perfect movie to me.
Yeah. At least with Edward Scissorhands, it is kind of the example of what he can do with a love story. And this is not necessarily the only, I guess, love story he's ever done. Corpse Bride, I guess you could make that argument, but I think this is much better. Truth be told, at the first viewing, I didn't really think of this as a love story. When I saw it in 1990, for God's sake, I was 6 years old. I was kind of fixated on the guy with the scissor fingers. But I think it's kind of a gothically weird take on falling in love with someone who's from, you know, the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak. I mean, Winona Ryder and her family were very much affluent and very, very normal. And then you had a man with scissor fingers, not quite as normal. And as much as we talk about Tim Burton kind of getting in his own way, I think the same could really be said for Johnny Depp, but not at this point in his career.
No, absolutely not. This is early Johnny Depp.
Yeah. So I think kind of going back in this, it's a love story. It's weird. It's unfamiliar, but still endearing. I think that, you know, you do feel sort of an empathy for Edward throughout the whole movie. And I think Winona Ryder does a really, really good job in this movie, too. I like it. I think it's interesting. And I haven't talked about it yet on this show. We've been doing this for God knows how long now.
Yeah, this one was on my radar, but I left it off only because I thought you had it, and if you didn't, I didn't need to mention it that much. Like, it was on my radar, but I didn't need to mention it. My number three goes back to my number five, where it's not so much about boy meets girl or girl meets boy, girl falls in love. It's about that search for love and how in a traumatic state you can kind of lose your mind and convince yourself that you're in love with a soap opera character, like Renee Zellweger did in 2000's Nurse Betty. You know, not the best marriage. She ends up watching Aaron Eckhart, her husband, get murdered and just loses her mind and goes to meet Dr. David Revell, which is Greg Kinnear's character on a sitcom, and creates this whole backstory and truly believes it and truly falls in love with the soap opera character. And does this while Morgan Freeman and Chris Rock are assassins on her tail. It's a really unique movie. Like, this movie is so weird to talk about, but at its heart, it's about getting over loss and getting over tragedy and looking for new beginnings. But she's driven by love. Like, she has this idea. She's driven by the idea of love. Like, in reality, yeah, she's not in love with this fictional character, but that's her escape right now. And the stuff she does to get to him and what she's done to her mental state, convincing herself that she is in love with this man, is interesting to watch. And it's just a weird, unique movie that was marketed more as a rom-com than it was, because you had Renee Zellweger at her rom-com peak. You throw in Greg Kinnear in there, not knowing anything about it.
You have the ingredients.
You have the ingredients, but this is not a romantic comedy. It's marketed as a dark comedy, and it's more dark than comedic, I think, but it's unique. Like, I'm not going to rave about how great it is. It's worth a watch.
It belongs on this list.
It belongs on this list, and if you're interested in, like, interesting movies that don't necessarily go where you expect them to, watch Nurse Betty, because I feel like a lot of risks were taken on this movie, and I feel like most of them paid off, because it is an entertaining movie. It is a fun movie to watch. But and Chris Rock's death, they edited it out on the TV version. The unrated cut was one of the most brutal, like, deaths.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, ever. But not brutal, just heart-wrenching and sad. It's a good movie that fits on here.
My number three is a movie that I know I've talked about before. I really like it. It is 2012's Cloud Atlas, directed by Tom Twicker, Andy Warchowski, and Lana Warchowski, starring a bunch of people. Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugo Weaving, Jim Broadbent. This was kind of the last movie I thought of, and it was really, I kind of backed into this movie. At the behest of listener Kelly the Barmaid, Mistress of the Drink, I read a book. I know, compose yourselves. It was actually a book that was about the idea of souls that you're kind of familiar with that you can meet up with throughout various lifetimes, which is exactly what Cloud Atlas is, I think. I've seen the movie a couple times. I'm only about 72% sure I know what the hell's going on, because it is long. It's very long, and it's out of sequence, which doesn't help either. It jumps around. It is very rough the way it was put together. But I think it's actually a really entertaining movie about a bunch of love stories. It can be a bit convoluted at times. Actually, no, it's not can be. It is a bit convoluted. And you've got a handful of stories here. I think there's about five or six of them where your principal actors all show up in each story. Sometimes, I think Halle Berry's, she plays a dude in some. It's really kind of weird how they do it. But essentially the idea is, you know, all these people are the same. They just keep re-encountering each other. The Ben Whishaw story, I think it's set in like the 30s. It's probably about the most straightforward, but it's one of my favorites. It's the easiest one to follow, I think. And it has the Cloud Atlas sextet, the musical motif throughout the movie, sort of originates in this story. And I think it's a pretty good song, too. You know, you've got the times in this movie starting from way, way, way BC to way post-apocalyptic Hawaii, I think, is where they end up in. The times change. The societies all change. The technology changes. But you have love and that song are really the only constants throughout the movie. I think it's definitely worth checking out. I know it's supposed to be a blockbuster. It was a giant bomb because it's not as accessible as it could be, or
it was ambitious.
Very ambitious.
And people didn't buy into it.
Right. And I guess can't really blame them. But I think that maybe don't try and watch it all at once because it's like 3.5 hours long. Maybe you have a longer attention span than I do. But I do think that it's worth the watch. And it is several love stories. And it's about all different kinds of love. There's guy-girl stuff. There's, I think, like some sort of half robot guy stuff, guy. It doesn't matter. It's pretty much whatever you're into. There's probably a little bit of it in Cloud Atlas.
My number two?
Yes.
Yeah,
C.
We're up to two. My number two, again, it's not about guy meets girl, guy falls in love. It's not about girl longing for love and looking for it. It's about a couple that's already very much in love. And it's about a young woman who, so in love with her boyfriend, will do anything it takes because of how much she loves him to get him 100,000 Deutschmarks before he robs a convenience store. It is 1998's Run Lola Run, starring Franka Potente. awesome movie. This is the one I love. Well, this and my number one are the two I love the most, because this movie is awesome. It's an alternate timeline movie where there's four different scenarios, just all centering around she does not want her boyfriend to rob this supermarket, but he needs the money. So it's all different scenarios of what she's willing to do to get him the money in 20 minutes before he goes through with it, because she doesn't want to lose him. The love story is already there, but we missed out on the let's fall in love aspect.
You missed the beginning of it. You see the end of it.
You see the, yeah.
Perhaps, maybe. You see the, maybe one time you do.
You see the what you're willing to do to keep that love and keep that love with you and not let him do something stupid and go away or end
not.
Up terribly. Yeah.
I like the movie a lot. I guess it never popped into my head as whatever kind of love stories we're trying to tell.
I'm pretty proud of this one.
I like it. I think it's really good. I'm not going to argue that it doesn't belong on the list. I just didn't think of it. I think the first time I ever saw this movie, I was in high school. I was in German class, and they played it Auf Deutsch just to, I don't know, try and make us learn German. I don't think it worked that well, but I got to see a pretty rad movie. I had to go back and watch it later with English subtitles so I could really know what the hell was going on. I mean, it's tough to follow if everyone's just speaking German at you. They were. I didn't realize that I was watching multiple timelines. I was like, wait, what the hell? But good movie. Run, Lola, run. My number two, again, it's not necessarily guy meets girl. Guy falls in love with girl. And we don't necessarily even really see the genesis of the relationship in Lars and the Real Girl from 2007, directed by Craig Gillespie, starring Ryan Gosling, Emily Mortimer, and Paul Schneider. It's a great movie. It is so good that upon further consideration, it absolutely wrecked her. Her is a bit more of an allegory, I think, than just kind of your, oh, can you believe the weird things people are going to fall in love with? But I think the blueprint for that kind of an abstract love story that was trying to be told, and was told in Her, the blueprint is here in Lars. And I think as good as Joaquin is, after Lars and the Real Girl fully became a disciple of the Gosling gospel, he was amazing.
Yeah, no, this one I left off because I thought you would have it on your list, and if you didn't, it would only be because you thought I was going to have it. So I knew it would get talked about either way. Phenomenal movie and kind of the epitome of what this list is, where you can't question whether he was in love with her or not, because he absolutely was, and that's not traditional.
Right.
And like he fell in love with a real doll.
The thing that I think really makes a good love story, no matter whether it's traditional or whatever, is you have, you know, two kids that you really are rooting for. You want them to make it. And you have Lars, and he's such a likable guy. You know, he's not really trying to put it out there for anybody. He just wants to be happy, just wants to be left alone, and he just wants to, you know, love. Be in love with a real girl or a real girl, whatever, you know, to each his own. No big deal. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all with being into a real doll. It's fine.
There's a really good documentary from years ago that I can never remember the name of.
I can't either, but I have seen
it. It's the most disturbing thing in the world.
It's the one where, like, they will send their dolls out to be fixed, right?
Like, and the guy, like, after he fixes them, admits to, like, if it's a beautiful piece, like, he'll test it out before sending it back. And it's like,
and testing it out is not like a scientific process where he's like using calipers. He's using his penis.
Yeah. It's a really good documentary.
Which
though.
Is not, I don't care how many times somebody tries to tell you it is, that's not a scientific instrument.
So just moral of the story is, when you send something out to somebody to get it fixed, you never know if their penis has been inside it before it gets back to
you.
Oh,
no, you know it has.
Usually.
Just be aware of that.
My number one. No real dolls involved. This is the closest to what I've been trying to avoid the whole time. It's the closest to boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl. This is boy kidnap boss's daughter. You know, a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, but the girl's a willing participant. But then you throw in a couple of angels who have to make sure that these two fall in love or else they'll be damned to purgatory. It is 1997's A Life Less Ordinary, directed by Danny Boyle. Maybe it shouldn't be number one, because it probably is the closest to just a straight-up love story, but there's enough going on. It's a very Danny Boyle movie. Like, there's a lot going on. It's very unique. It's odd. It's quirky. and Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter as the intergalactic relationship specialists or whatever you want to call them, I just add a whole other angle to it that just makes it a weird movie. So it's not a romantic comedy, I guess. I think there's more to it than that, but it's not just your standard love story. It's the closest of everything I've had on my list, but I think it's unique enough and out there enough that it counts.
I mean, I guess a more traditional love story might be Slumdog. This and that are two entirely different things.
Yeah.
I definitely think that this one's a bit more out of left field, more outside of the box, which I think maybe that's kind of what we're looking for, is love stories that are a bit outside of the box, and that box being guy meets girl, guy falls in love with girl. Although, as much as I'm saying that, my number one is a love story that does take place, or at least it starts, in a box. It is from 2009, directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requat, starring Jim Carrey, Ewan McGregor, and Leslie Mann. I love you, Philip Morris. I love you. I love you, Philip Morris. Love this movie. I think I had it very, very high on my list of just straight-up love stories, justifiably, because it's one of my favorites. And after all, that's really what these lists are anyway. But it is also out of the box, in that, not just because it's two dudes, it's Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor, whatever. Dave and I, before we started the podcast, we kind of mentioned Brokeback, which is,
to me, Brokeback's not a, it's two dudes falling in love. Like, there's a movie called Imagine Me and You, or Delirious something. It's another Piper Perabo movie. It's two Piper Perabo movies, Lost and Delirious. They're love stories, but they're just same-sex love stories, so I don't consider those, like, non-traditional or out of the ordinary. But and Philip Morris is a fantastic example, because it is unique. If you replace Ewan McGregor with a woman, it's the same story, and it's still not a traditional love story.
Because Jim Carrey is incarcerated, and he spends the entirety of the movie trying to escape from prison so that he can be with the person he loves, which just happens to be Ewan McGregor. And Jim Carrey in this movie, phenomenal. I cannot imagine anybody else in this role. He's sweet, charismatic, flawed, and a despicable human being all at the same time, but you love him.
And that's the thing. When this movie came out, this was, you know, there was a lot of, oh, this is Jim Carrey really wanting that Oscar. And you watch it and you think, like, maybe it's a little too much Jim Carrey to be Oscar worthy. But then you read about the guy that he's playing, and it's perfect.
Like, he was that guy.
He was that guy. So, I mean, Jim Carrey was the perfect guy to bring that to life. And it's minus The Truman Show, I think it's his best acting performance by far.
I got to go Man on the Moon, because he was Andy Kaufman. But I like this movie much better than Man on the Moon. To me, it's kind of the epitome of the list. It is. It's, if you want to look at it as just a love story, you can, and it's fine. I realize that because it is a guy and a guy, that it might not really be for everybody, and that's fine. But I just the performance, even McGregor was pretty good in this too, but it's by far Jim Carrey's movie. And just watching that character, the way he's able to break out of prison multiple times, it's, I thought it was kind of a fun ride, and I love it. It is one of my all-time favorite love stories, period. If not my all-time favorite, it might be.
It's good. Because I was actually thinking about that. Like, it's a pen pal movie, pretty much. It's about, they fell in love through letters, pretty much. So some of my also-rans, I left Wally off. I think Wally's perfect for this list, but I didn't know if you would have it. And I just kind of liked the others ahead of it. True Romance, we teased, and Punch Drunk Love, we teased a couple weeks ago.
Eternal Sunshine,
those are ones that I left off because I thought might be a little obvious. And then this one's a little out there for me. It's a Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock joint, The Lake
Speed.
House.
Oh.
The Lake House, because it's a really weird take on a love story with weird time travel involved and somebody getting hit by a car. Like, it's a weird, weird take on a story, but it was just promoted as a standard love story. But this might be the first time we've had a list where the same lead actor is on both of them for different movies. Both our number ones starred Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I guess he is a real heartthrob. I'm not willing to go do the research.
No, I'm not either.
So I'll just say, yeah, that's the first time it's ever happened. Some of my also-rans, The Fountain, came to mind. I really like that movie.
That popped in my head when you were talking about Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
Similar.
I'm not sure I know what goes on in either of them, but they're entertaining, and they are both love stories. A couple of the other ones that I did want to at least throw out there. There was a couple that came to mind from a particular director, Pedro Almodovar. He did Volver. That's probably maybe his most well-known English movie. Well, the most well-known movie in America. But he did a couple that were really kind of weird. And I've talked about The Skin I Live In before, which is sort of a love story. Really a, I don't want to say it's horror, but it's weird. It's very strange. It's almost impossible to talk about without completely ruining the movie for you. The twists in it are pretty interesting. It's worth a watch. And there was another one he did with Antonio Banderas as well, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, where he kidnaps this adult film actress and they end up falling in love. Kind of, you know, your Stockholm Syndrome thing. But one that was very similar to Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down is another one we've talked about, is Meet Monica Valour. Sans the kidnapping, but that was another pretty decent one. I left Monica Valour off because we've talked about it. But I did want to mention those other two from Pedro, that he's done a lot of unique love stories, so to speak. Those were just kind of the two that I picked out that I liked the most and just felt like bringing up. But I think we've probably hit quite a few also-rans this week, more than we usually do. But that's just, I think, because it was sort of a wide list, and I don't know that any of us, either of us, really wrapped our brains around it completely. Dave, just quickly, why don't you run down your five through number one? Remind the folks.
Number five was May. Number four, Wrist Cutters, A Love Story. Number three, Nurse Betty. Number two, Run Lola Run. And number one, Danny Boyle's A Life Less Ordinary.
My number five, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Four, Edward Scissorhands. Number three, Cloud Atlas. Number two, Lars and the Real Girl. And number one, In My Heart, I Love You, Philip Morris. I'm sure, you know, we have mentioned a lot, but I'm sure there's a lot that we have forgotten about. So if you have a love story that's maybe outside of the box that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com and send them to us in the email. You can leave your thoughts on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can get at us on the Twitter @moviesonup. You can get at my co-host, Mr. Dave. He would love to hear from you.
@DaveBasella on the Twitter, DaveBasella.com. Listen to my other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's Eric with a K, EricandDave.com. We are back in multiple episodes a month, not just doing seasonal holiday episodes anymore. And check out a podcast that I produce, FaxPodcast.com. I have been on a few episodes this week as they sort out issues among the two permanent hosts. Listen to Facts. It's fun and educational.
We're not done with you this week. We actually, because it is
Valentine's.
Yeah, it is a holiday, a very special occasion. We will have a very special Movies On Up that will go up on Valentine's Day. It is kind of a love letter, I guess, from Movies On Up to our listeners and maybe to somebody very dear to the hearts of both my co-host and I, and you will just have to come back later on this week and read our open love letter.
Until then,
keep it up.